I think Lennon's sick, and he said, Alex, could you please preach this week? And I was supposed to preach last week, and I asked Peter, please, could you cover for me, because I was sick. And this week, Lennon said, Alex, could you cover this week? So I thought, okay, so let me preach on the remaining verses from the chapter 18, Acts chapter 18, verse 18 to 28. Those who were here last week, you would have listened to Peter's preaching. Peter was mentioning about, his preaching was about how encouragements in the midst of life's disappointment, as he was taking us through this map of where Paul's second missionary journey from Antioch, he went to the western part of Asia, and then from there to Macedonia, and then in Corinth, he spent a lot of time, around 18 months to 2 years, before he came back to Antioch, Jerusalem and Antioch. And we see here, as verse 18 says, Paul stayed on in Corinth for some time, then he left the brothers and sailed for Syria, accompanied by Priscilla and Aquila. Before he sailed, he had his hair cut off at Cenchrea because of a vow he had taken. They arrived at Ephesus, where Paul left Priscilla and Aquila. He himself went into synagogue and reasoned with the Jews. When they asked him to spend more time with them, he declined. But as he left, he promised, I will come back if it is God's will. Then he set sail from Ephesus. When he landed at Caesarea, he went up and greeted the church and then went down to Antioch. We see Paul, after he comes back, on his way back to Antioch, he goes to Ephesus, he spends some time there in his second missionary journey. He encourages people in the synagogue, he meets with them. But I want you to understand there are some characters always follows in that who Luke mentions. Priscilla and Aquila. And Aquila and Priscilla was with Paul coming from Corinth, as we see that they are the ones who are doing the tent-making job, and Paul was joining them because he also skilled in that and he was doing some tent-making. And these people are Jewish people who left Rome and they are in exile. And they are in Corinth with Paul, and then now they are with Paul in Ephesus. But there, as Paul was reasoning with the Jews and instructing them, he was there for a very short time. They asked him to spend more time, but he said, I'll come back if it is God's will. And he goes to Caesarea and then visits Jerusalem and then goes to Antioch and spends time there before he starts again for his third missionary journey. I was wondering, he leaves Priscilla and Aquila in Ephesus and he goes. Luke is mentioning this. He goes there. I was wondering why Paul has to go back. Why can't he spend time? If he's going to come back to Ephesus again, why don't he spend time in Ephesus? But as you spend time thinking about it, some of the commentators mention that. You know, Paul is not doing ministry by himself. He's not a sole person doing ministry, going planting churches as Paul's ministry. He's doing it as a team. He comes back to Jerusalem, spends some time there. Possibly he's been reporting back to the elders and the apostles there. And he goes back to Antioch where he started. He rests there, he spends time with the people, and again he goes back to Asia from east to the western part. And he goes on strengthening the disciples. You know, he's not just planted churches and left, but he also in the business of strengthening the disciple. That is something very important. Now, there are times where we talk about, you know, evangelizing, people coming to know the Lord, but it doesn't stop there. Strengthening the disciples are something so important. And one of the things which is explained is later part, what we see is in the life of Apollos, who is a Jew, comes from Alexandria, a northern part of Africa, who is a disciple of Jesus, who believes in the way of the Lord who knows about Jesus. And Priscilla and Aquila invites Apollos into their home and helps him to understand, have a better understanding of the scripture and the works of Jesus. And that's what today we're going to look at. And I've entitled my sermon as Gospel Minded. I'm going to focus on the life of Priscilla and Aquila and what God has been doing in their life. And I'll be looking at three important points in that. The first one will be hospitality. The second one will be unity. The third one will be tenacity. As we come to verse 24, Luke shifts from Paul and he goes to talk about Apollos, Priscilla, and Aquila here. Meanwhile, a Jew named Apollos, a native of Alexandria, came to Ephesus. He was a learned man with a thorough knowledge of the scriptures. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, and he spoke in with great fervor and taught about Jesus accurately. Though he knew only the baptism of John, he began to speak boldly in the synagogue. When Priscilla and Aquila heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. See, when Apollos is a man, so we don't know how the church of the gospel went to that place, because when you look at Jerusalem and people were leaving, people went not intentionally to go and plant a church in Antioch. They were running because of persecution, but along the way, the gospel minded, they were sharing the gospel to the people, and that's way how the church started in Antioch. And there are many people, not just by Paul or by the apostles, but God used many people in his work to take the gospel to different parts of the world. And one of the examples is, here I stand because the ministry of Apostle Thomas, who came to India, and the gospel came to India. And many people doesn't know that during, we have, at the southern part of India, we have a lot of synagogues of Jewish people. And not many people know about it. A very strong Christian community in the southern part of India. And most of the gospel to India went from the southern part of India, where Thomas came to this merchant route, to the trade route in the sea. So God used many people, which we, it's not everything is there, but God used many people. And this man, Apollos, come to know the Lord. See, he talks about, Luke says, he's a learned man. He's very eloquent in his speech. He had the knowledge of the scriptures thoroughly. He had been instructed in the way of the Lord, which means he knows about Jesus. But the thing here is, he's spoken with great fervor, with enthusiasm. There was a passion and thought about Jesus accurately, though he knew only about the baptism of John. Yes, he spoke boldly and accurately about Jesus, yet his knowledge about the work of Jesus, the death and resurrection and ascension, what he has done for us, is limited. But with what he knew, he spoke boldly. And Aquila and Priscilla, who are there in that synagogue listening to him, heard him, they invited him to their home and explained to him the way of God more adequately. You know, it's a small passage, small line that he's mentioning. He was invited by this couple. The couple who flee their home from Rome because of Claudius was, you know, killing and arresting lots of people, Jewish people in Rome. And they were running. They were in exile. They're in Corinth, and now with Paul, they come to Ephesus. Paul left them there, trusting them, and he went. And they are not just doing their own business, but they were gospel-minded during that time. As they're listening to this young man, they said, he had all of this. He's passionate. He knows the scripture. But the small thing is missing, which is an adequate knowledge about Jesus Christ. Because the baptism of John is about the baptism of repentance, when he calls the leaders and the people of Israel to come and repent. And he showed that, you know, the one who's going to come is going to baptize with the Holy Spirit. But he knows about the baptism of John, but not about Jesus. Not fully about Jesus. And these people saw there is an opportunity. Here is an opportunity. They invited him home. They did not correct him in public and put him down or shame him. They invited him home. You see that hospitality there. Because inviting people to home is not an easy thing. When you're inviting them, you're asking them that come and be part of a family because we value you. They saw this man as something. He'll be useful in the kingdom of God, but all he's missing is this little bit of understanding. And they invited. That invitation mattered. Paul talks about time and again about hospitality and encourages people to open their homes for hospitality. You know, we have a busy life, aren't we? Work, family, responsibilities, lots of other commitments. But within that time, as we invite people into our house, investing in their life for the sake of the kingdom, God does amazing things. Because years ago, somebody invited me like that. Here I'm standing and preaching because somebody invited me. Somebody showed that hospitality. See, I myself am a migrant. I keep saying that again. Alex, stop saying that, you might say. But I know the pain and the struggles I went through in this country when you don't have anyone to support or to talk to. I was working for an organization. I went through so much of hardship. No, though you study, though you want to serve the Lord, but coming into a new country, you have certain regulations for visa condition, all that. But the place I was working, I was going through so much of hardship. But Lord, you called me. You want to serve. You called me to serve. You know, when I finish my university degree in commerce and accounts, I want to pursue business administration. I want to become a business guy like my dad used to be before he came into ministry. But God directed my path to come into ministry, to serve him. Went on to study theology. Later, God directed my path to New Zealand. I came here, I studied, I was serving in a church. But I was going through a lot of hardship. No encouragement, no nourishment. It was a painful situation. During that time, I was asking God, I don't know what to do. The doors are shut. I don't know where to go. As I was praying, my wife was working in Sunshine. And she said, Alex, why don't you come? Spend some time with Leo. Leo was 2.5 years old at that time. She was, Stella is working as a teacher. She said, why don't you spend some time? You know, come out of the house. I said, no, I want to pray. Because I'm fasting and praying at that time on Friday. And I don't want to come out. She said, you know, it'll be nice if you come and spend some time with Liam. I said, I'll see. It's a Father's Day, and they'll be doing some activities. It'll be nice if you are there. Then I left around. As I was praying, I felt, you know, I want to go and spend some time. I was wrestling with my heart. So much is going on. We don't know what's going to happen next in our life. As I left, the only few fathers came. It was a working day, so one of the weekdays. And they were, you know, doing some craft, and Leah was making some paper ties and playing with me. And after some time, they said, okay, we made some, you know, arranged some food for the fathers. Not many have come, but we have a lot of food. Could you guys come and spend some time? I was like, no, I'm not going to eat today. But I don't want to disrespect people, so let's go and spend some time there. And there were a couple of fathers there. I was talking to them. And I met this guy next to me. And he was sharing to me. He asked me, where do you come? What do you do? And I said, like, oh, my daughter studies here. My wife works here. I work for a church. Oh, you're a pastor. Wonderful. What do you do? So you're a pastor. So, oh, you're Stella's husband. And then he introduced himself. I'm Andrew Young. I'm a pastor in a church here. And he invited me, Alex, would you like to come and see my office? And he spent some time with me, listening to me. We were having some conversation. And God built that conversation. And God started to encourage me during that time. And he was sharing about the vision of the church at that time, you know, as a church, how they want to work with a lot of people in different culture. And I said, this is my heart as well. This painful time, what God takes you, God is preparing you for something bigger. I didn't understand that at that time. But when this man invited me, spent some time with me, it encouraged me. And later, after a few months, I moved to Redeemer. I started to work with them. And 7 years' time, God, through many people's life, encouraged me, strengthened me, and here I stand. Andrew introduced me to Neil Vinson. A godly man who loved God so faithfully. He took time and invested in my life, 2 years of his life, sharing his heart. You know, you read the scripture, God's word is powerful, but when we're witnessing through the lives of people, it is more powerful. It is effective. It's not powerful than God's word. What I'm saying is, it comes to sense in your heart. It connects with you, and you understand it better because they are gospel-minded. Here we see Priscilla and Aquila, people who are gospel-minded, inviting Apollos into their house, instructing him where he could. They explained him the way of God more adequately. And later we could see how Apollos become one of the, you know, strong apologists who goes back to Corinth and continues in the work of what Paul has done there in those synagogues. So there's one thing about giving into the lives of, you know, pouring into the lives of people, but also from Apollo's part, it's about receiving. You know, sometimes we become very hesitant to receive. We don't have the teachable heart. But we're looking at Apollo's life. What we see here is, as Priscilla and Aquila pouring into his life, he, though is well-educated, learned man, knows the scripture, yet he accepted that invitation and listened to them. He received it with a heart of gratitude because that made a difference in his life. And that was the puzzle that was missing in his life, and God was fixing it so that he could be faithfully serving the Lord in the future. Because as Peter was preaching last week, one of the things he mentioned is, whoever the Father has given to Jesus, he never let go of any of them. But also, as Paul carries that same heart, was ministering to those people, you could see how that responsibility carries on to people after people, people after people. These are the partners in ministry, Priscilla and Aquila. Yet, God is using them in that time. The second one was about, within that we see, with Priscilla and Aquila, it's not just one person together, how they're ministering in their house. The unity within them for the purpose of the gospel. They're gospel-minded as Aquila and Priscilla ministering to him together. That is so important, isn't it? How, as a couple, how we minister together in unity. Because that's what Satan wants to disrupt in our families. so that we will not be fruitful or effective in the ministry that God has called us for. And today in the world, that is what we see. He attacks families. But here we see Priscilla and Aquila together in one spirit, in one mind, they are serving the Lord. If you turn your Bibles to 1 Peter verse 3:7, Peter advises to the people in Asia for the families, verse 5:1, verse 4. This is the way of the holy women of the past who put their hope in God, used to make themselves beautiful. They were submissive to their own husbands, like Sarah, who obeyed Abraham and called him her master. You are her daughters if you do what is right and do not give way to fear. But as he comes to husbands, he says, husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect as a weaker partner and as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life, so that nothing will hinder your prayers. As he talks about husband and wife, Peter mentions, as he comes to husbands, he says, you do this, that it will not hinder your prayers. As we see in Ephesians, what Paul talks to the church is, wives, submit to your own husbands. Husband, love your wife as yourself. You know, the apostles has always mentioned about, you know, the unity. As Christ is to the church, husband is to the family. But in that unity, where 1 Peter 3:7, it should not, your disunity should not disturb your prayer life. Because most of the time we see prayer lives helps us to right living. But as we read the scripture, one of the very important things what we read from 1 Peter 3:7 is your right living should lead you to a prayerful life. The reason I share, I myself struggle at times. There are disruptions that comes into your family. There are times the unity in the family is disrupts. It hinders your prayer life. It hinders the ministry to open the house to other people. I remember listening to one of the pastors. He beautifully mentioned about the first Adam blamed Eve, but the second Adam gave himself. And what are we going to be? Are we willing to give ourselves? Forgiving. Not just forgiving, are we forgiving ourselves? Time and again. Because the unity of our life is not about our own. It is for the gospel. It is for the kingdom of the Lord. It is for Lord and Lord alone. For that very reason, we submit to the Lord and love one another. Give up on what is hindering us so that the gospel would advance. With Priscilla and Aquila, they were in, you know, marriage is a beautiful thing because in marriage, you know, in Matthew chapter 18, when you read, where two or three people come together in his name, he's in our midst and he answers our prayers. And marriage is seen as one of the sacred relationship compared to other relationship in Bible. It always mentioned how God sees us as the husband and wife, as a head of the church. Where two or three people comes together, God is in our midst. And marriage is a place where two people in one mind and one spirit can pray together. And that is what Satan wants to attack. And we submit to the Lord and ask God for help and give up all that what is hindering us so that Lord's name will be glorified. So that Lord will help us to continue to serve Him by submitting to Him. So the unity is so important. I understand there are some young people here and there are some who are a life as different and difficult and taken a life of celibacy? The scripture says to the fatherless, he is the father to those widows. God is the husband, and God is everything for all of us. And God has a plan for each and everyone. But as we come to this passage, as it mentions about husbands and wife, a Christian family, how they should live is united so that for the sake of the gospel, God's kingdom will be advanced and his name will be glorified. And we see, I want to mention, the third one is tenacity. Tenacity is something where you continue to persevere in times of struggles, no matter how the hardship in your life, you continue to persevere for a cause. Here we see, if you can turn your Bibles to Romans chapter 16, it mentioned about Priscilla and Aquila. Verse 16:19. The churches in the province of Asia send you greetings, Aquila and Priscilla. Greet you warmly in the Lord, and so does the church that meets at their house. All the brothers here send you greetings. Greet one another with a holy kiss. So Aquila and Priscilla, it talks about how long they've been serving the Lord. As he's writing the letter from Ephesus to the Rome at the end of his 3 years in the third missionary journey, as he's writing the letter to the church in Rome, he mentions about Aquila and Priscilla. And it's almost about 7 years by then they left the country before they returned back to Rome. In the struggles, in the exile, leaving their home, they are not feeling sorry about the situation, their life, but they're always thinking about the gospel. We see an example of a couple who had given all these years of life for the gospel work. Now, though in the midst of all the struggle and adversity, they are a source of immense good to other people. Instead of feeling sorry for themselves, they turn the difficulty into an opportunity for ministry and serving others. They utilize their marriage to the advancement of God's kingdom and gospel. How beautiful is that? So much challenge. It's not easy to leave your home and living in a different country, losing your family and relatives, where you grew up, where you were born, and running for life. But even in midst of all the difficulty and struggles, still gospel-minded. Still living a life for the advancement of the kingdom and not feeling sorry about your situation. Because those who are saved by the Lord understand where their home is. They have the assurance in the Lord that one day we will return to our home, and that is with the Lord. But even on this earth, in all the difficulties, God cares for them, and God is their assurance, and they understand that. So they're not worried about what is happening in their life and feeling sorry and staying where they are, but they're moving forward. And trusting the Lord and serving the Lord. And what that means, that's where we see in verse 27, when Apollos wanted to go to Achaia, the brothers encouraged him and wrote to the disciples there to welcome him. Verse 27 onwards. On arriving, he was a great help to those who by grace had believed. For he vigorously refuted the Jews in public debate, proving from the scriptures that Jesus was the Christ. So now this man was instructed adequately in the way of God. He goes to Achaia, a region in Macedonia, where Corinth is the main city. And the people here recommends and writes a letter to the church in Corinth to receive him. As he goes there, he strongly refutes those people and preaches that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and he is the Messiah. And how those people who've taken time to open their homes and invested in this young man's life, and this young man went on to preach the gospel. The work that Priscilla and Aquila invested in Apollos in Ephesus now bore fruit in another city in Corinth and all the region of Achaia. Are we gospel-minded? Are we opening our homes, investing our lives in those who wants to grow in the Lord? Are we united in one mind and spirit for the advancement of the gospel? Are we continuing to persevere for the Lord no matter what the difficulty, what the challenge of the world throws at us? Because we are kingdom-minded and gospel-minded. It's a great reminder that we see here. In 1 Corinthians, verse 3-6, it talks about later there was a few things happens. And the verse says, Paul had sown, Apollos watered, God made it grow. And Paul went and sowed the seed in Corinth, and God used Apollos later in that part of Achaia, in the region of Achaia, because somebody saw there's a man who had a great potential and invested in their life. I was reading one of the testimony, which is from the 16th century. It's a young monk named Bithney. He was a convert. And he met this other monk who's a well-learned man, Hugh Latimer. As he saw this man, he wanted to share the gospel to him, but he didn't know how to do that because he's serving the church. So because he's come to know the gospel, his heart could not stay how it was before. He wants to share the gospel. So he went to Latimer and said, I want to do confession. You know, in Catholic churches, you go to the priest and ask for confessions. And they'll take you to the small place in this room. And he came and asked him for his confession. Bithney shared the gospel to him in place of confession. And Hugh Latimer come to know the Lord. And Hugh Latimer later became one of the influential people in the English Reformation in 16th century. And we know what happened after that. How God's message went on to change the hearts of people in England and many other places. Let us not shy away from that and continue to trust in the Lord and submit to Him. Let's close eyes and pray. Heavenly Father, we give this time into Your mighty hands, O Lord. Lord, what a wonderful, glorious God we serve. And what a privilege for us Lord, as we stand here this morning worshiping You, listening to your word. Father, we pray, Lord, strengthen our hearts. Let our mind and heart be filled with the understanding of the gospel, where we will be pouring out our heart for your sake. No matter what we go through, what is happening in our life, by the power of the Holy Spirit, you strengthen our hearts and help us to continue to worship you, surrender our hearts and live for your glory and your glory alone, O Father, so that we can stand and preach the good news of what the Lord has done for us on the cross. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Could we all stand up and worship the Lord?